You're listening to a podcast from 702.
702. Nola knows her knowledge is your power.
So this afternoon, as we speak to Wendy Nola, our focus is on influencer marketing. And we'll also be looking at some of the ethics around this, the power that it has, and also the areas where it can also be misleading. So you need to have your wits about you. You need to read these messages, know how to read these posts correctly, and also raise issues if you do come across any unethical posts and partnerships that that are posted on social media. Wendy, good afternoon.
Hello, Azza. Nice to be with you again.
A very interesting space, a space that has been growing over the past couple of years. I mean, to the point where you have people who make a living this way, where you have awards and it's an area that gets awarded, that is getting great notice at the moment, the influencer space, being an influencer, and it's a lot of money being directed towards it. So how is it working and what are some of the consumer issues does it raise for you?
Well, I must pin my colors to the mast and say, as a journalist for more than 30 years, I'm pretty old school when it comes to, you know, what's advertising and what isn't. And I think in the old days, advertising was very simple and straightforward. You could tell an advert from something that wasn't advert, something that was independent editorial, for example, or someone. We didn't have social media, for goodness sake, those years ago. Then came advertorial, where the newspapers and magazines started sort of running paid for advertiser content as a report, as genuine editorial, but then they'd market advertorial so people could tell the difference, and sometimes they didn't, and that's still happening. And then came this whole new wave of influencers. And I remember it was 2018, as far back as then, where I was invited to a media conference by a major long-term insurer. It was at the Oyster Box Hotel at Umhlanga. And I was one of, I think, one or two traditional journalists working for, you know, mainstream media, I suppose people like to call it. And the rest were bloggers and influencers. And one was like, you know, wrote about makeup and trends and that kind of thing. And I thought, wow, it was quite an eye-opener for me of how quickly this trend had accelerated. And the issue, I think, you know, this is a consumer segment. So the issue is, to what extent are consumers aware of when it stops being somebody's personal views that they're just sharing on their social, and when it's actually a paid-for advert and paid for big time? Depending on how many followers you have, you can get, you know, 50,000-60,000 rand for a post or two.
What?
So depending. I mean, that's a big league, but you know, everyone's aspiring for the big league, and how you get there is building your following. And one of the ways you get there, your followers. So everybody's looking at those numbers, right?
Yeah.
So influencer marketing, as I say, it's been a thing for years. COVID-19 pandemic did cause them some pain, as it did most of us. You can't be posting your holiday pics, although apparently some still did, in the bikini and the wherever, when, you know, clearly nobody's actually traveling anymore. But while many brands don't seem to care if an endorsement comes from a place of true authenticity, very big buzzword for the moment, authenticity when it's in such short supply, if audiences are able to interpret influencer endorsements as inauthentic or misleading, of course, both the brand and the influencer lose credibility.
Right.
I found this in my research. It's interesting. A study from Bizarre Voice reported that 47% of customers are tired of influencer content that appears inauthentic, and 62% of customers believe that influencer endorsements take advantage of impressionable audiences. Mm-hmm. And I think if you look at our audience, the South African audience across the spectrum, in a context of a global audience, I'd say we're pretty up there as far as impressionable audiences go.
Right.
That's what scams take hold.
Yes. So you talked about followers a little bit earlier on, that it's often driven by that, the numbers of followers that you have. But my understanding was also about the level of engagement that that you have with those followers. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a big number, but the level to which they engage with the content is what can also be measured. And there's a whole matrix that some of these agencies look at. But there are also some controversies around numbers.
About fakeness. So, the fakeness of the whole concept is for me the most disturbing thing. And I don't know if you've heard about this HBO documentary, Fake Famous. It set out to prove just before lockdown just how fake this influence marketing thing can be. So they took three young Los Angeles residents. None of them had more than 1,000 followers on social media. And they made them phony famous by staging fake photo shoots, buying followers and bots to engage with, talk about, it's about the engagement, engage with their posts. And when interviewed, one of the directors of Fake Famous said, one of the unintended consequences of that wildly successful social experiment was that people watching it were then left asking, well, maybe I should buy myself some followers. That worked. And he's like, no, don't do that. And if you interviews with these young people afterwards say, they're now suddenly famous influencers. And they, as one said, they realized how fake the whole thing was and that they were determined to be more transparent and authentic about their engagements on social media. Mm-hmm. One said he wanted to go back to his studies to be able to contribute in a real way. So let's have some substance around this. Don't just, the famous for being famous or the fake famous and the huge influence you wield for what? For having a lot of followers. It's really quite a crazy place we've ended up with. And what sparked this conversation, as I was a South African who has become an influencer through his posting and sharing of good things going down in South Africa, Mzansi, is good things guy Brent Lindekue. And he tweeted something during the Easter break that grabbed my attention. Mm-hmm. And it went like this. Just got an email from a South African company asking me to pay to be part of this gross thing where they give away prizes using an influencer, except spelled like the flu, influenza. but the trick is that people will have to follow me and others that pay to stand a chance to win. I think I just threw up. Sis man, I'm properly grossed out, he said. They want me to pay to promote my account to their followers so I can gain more followers. It's the most bizarre thing. I don't care about gaining followers. Yuck. Well, spoken like a true non-influencer, but anyway.
I've actually seen the kind of campaigns that he's talking about, and they are really, they just clog up the trending page, for instance. You think there's something there, you click on it, and then you start to see all this chamors, there's just chaos, people trying to win prizes, jostling to win this prize that's been promised by an influenza, or rather influencer.
So, a little bit of a virus.
Yeah, you pick it up, you do see it, you can tell which of these campaigns, you can tell these ones, they did give away.
Yes.
So did you also spoke to the agency behind this. What is their rationale and how does it work?
I tried to, I left a message for them to get hold of me, see if they wanted to come and join us. That hasn't happened yet, but I think their website speaks for themselves. They say it's based in Cape Town, this agency, and probably, I don't know if there are several of them, but this one's called Giveaway Media. Its tagline is social influence is the new currency, which I think says a lot. And this is what it says about the way it does business. Giveaway Media Agency operates by organizing large-scale influencer giveaways and then allowing their clients to sponsor the giveaways in exchange for the host influencer directing their followers to the sponsor's account. In other words, you, the influencer, you pay them. Mm. And what the payback for you is that they put up all these, there's this prize, and you can only enter if you first follow that particular influencer who's now hosting that prize. And so you get all these followers. They say it's the least expensive form of advertising. No other channel guarantees this many real targeted followers in such short periods of time. The cost to become a sponsor will mainly depend on user engagement rate, etc. But they do say on average 35 to 45% of new followers unfollow after the giveaway. But fortunately, there are strategies to minimize this. Is it just me? Is this just completely... complete madness now. I mean, it's the most inauthentic way to up your followers, really. They're not there for you and your content. They're there because they want the prize, and you there because you want the followers who want the prize, who may then unfollow you. It's just crazy. So I thought, well, Brent said, when I engaged with him on Twitter, he said, let's do something about this. And I said, absolutely. Are you free on Thursday? And here
he is free and he's ready to talk to us. And that's Brent Lindekew. And he is behind, of course, Good Things Guy. That's the website with all the good news in South Africa. Hello, Brent.
Good afternoon, Wendy. I'm shocked that you put me in the same category as an influenza.
No, you're here to tell the story.
You're an accidental influencer. I've been often called that, and I say, no, actually, please don't call me that. But they wouldn't have approached you if they didn't see you as an influenza, Brent. So, like it or not, you do have influence.
I get it. I totally get it. And I must say that this campaign and the reason I've tweeted about it is it actually made me feel ill to add to this idea or this narrative that your worth is found in likes and followers is such a sad thing to be teaching the younger generation. It's a symptom of social media and where we currently are in this time where people believe that that's where their worth lies. But, man, we need to change that narrative. That's not cool.
Clear that it grossed you out. I mean, the cis man and the yuck, you didn't hold back at all. It was really, you were That's offended. Great. You were offended. So have you had other offers, or has this been the height of the worst of the worst?
So, I mean, I've had offers to promote products where I've turned them down because I don't believe in the product and I don't believe it suits me, and I'm not going to endorse something that I don't believe in, if I can put it that way. Mm-hmm. But I've never, ever, ever been offered to grow my following or to have followers. To grow my following through a mechanism like this. And I just feel like if other people are doing this, fine. It's going to grow your account. But where's the realness in this? Where's the authenticity? Why have numbers become what matters? I just don't think that that's what it should be. Or I could be completely on the outskirts and wrong on this one. I don't know.
No, I don't think you're wrong at all. I don't think you're wrong. Just last week, Brent, I was talking to a couple of people about what I think is quite concerning on social media, particularly. And the example that Wendy gave about the HBO documentary called Fake Famous, where they even set up fake photo shoots. So you see that people live to take photos. To do these photo shoots, which are supposed to beget followers and then beget opportunities, right? As this young person said, they'd rather go back and study and contribute in a real way to the world. And for me, what it's pushing, as you said, you're defined by numbers, but also now young people want to aspire to a particular aesthetic, particular like brand, very heavily brand focused, big brands. And I think it miscommunicates how life is or what life is about. You have to work hard. You don't just instantly then get to have a Louis Vuitton bag or the path to having that kind of lifestyle. They make it seem so easy. Meanwhile, you don't know what somebody does. All they do is take pictures with these expensive brands, and then you don't know what they wake up to go and do every morning. But this is what's being sold to society.
So there's two things here that I want to raise. The one, I got sent on a trip twice to India. I sometimes get to go travel pre-COVID. And on that trip, there were 30 in total, so 29 other influencers from around the world. And they had all been invited there because of their following, because of the Instagram and the Twitter and whatever they had. My job was a little bit different because I was going there as a travel writer to find good news stories from India to feature. But the rest of the people that were on this trip with me from all around the world, I called them always on because there was no off switch. There was never a point where we could just eat lunch and enjoy the lunch. It was constantly taking photos, constantly fake smiling. It was all, none of it was real. So even though they were on this trip, this incredible trip, to India, they weren't experiencing India. They were just sort of taking photos of a narrative that they were creating that wasn't actually real. So that's the first thing, and that's I'm adding to your point that it's not real. The second point to that I want to make is that during lockdown, I learned something about my own social media. For the longest time, I believed that my job was to always be happy and to always inspire and to always share that motivation as if that responsibility, other people's mental wellness, fell on my shoulders. During lockdown, I realized that my responsibility is to be real, because a person that is happy and inspirational 100% of the time is not real. And that's very hard to aspire to. And that can actually make someone go crazy if mm-hmm. you think that someone's happy mm-hmm. and they're living their best life. So I mean, those are two things that I can look at, is that influencer lifestyle is not real. And if you want to be as authentic as a human being, then be authentic. You can't pretend to be authentic.
So what do you think needs to be done? Because as you started, when you opened, you said, we've got to do something about this.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that the listeners that are hearing about this today realize that what they're seeing on social media is not always real. Sometimes it is, but generally it's not. And we need to, I know there's a huge push from the advertising authorities to make sure that when something is on Instagram or on Twitter, on social media, that it is hashtagged with either sponsorship or ad, or it's got that sort of advertorial thing, so that we know that we're being fed something that's paid for. And in a position mm-hmm. like this, with this campaign that got promoted to me, they didn't have any of that. So however they're functioning and whatever they're doing from their business point of view, there's nothing that's telling you that this is an advert and the only reason you have to follow these people is because
you're
part of a big sponsorship and they pay for it.
Brent, thank you so much. And because this does need more addressing, I find. And I think even in terms of the impact it's having on people's mental health, their well-being, and just society and what society ends up aspiring towards, and the messages, the myths we're creating, or the messages we're creating about who we are as a people and what your path to success actually is. That's the part that really grates me, because it's like, what do you do for a living? Meanwhile, all you're putting out is an image of success, and someone who's consuming that things that the path to success is just going to fall on your lap. Meanwhile, it requires everyday hard work, building gradually, and not this instant image you're putting forward. So thank you for kickstarting us off. Thank you, Brent.
Thank you very much.
Thanks,
and,
Brent.
I hope you have a great day.
Yes, and stay vigilant out there. But very interesting, Wendy. We will be speaking to the Advertising Standards Authority. But from a consumer perspective, what are the things that we need to be aware of?
Well, I think Brent led nicely into the second part of our conversation, and that is, we consumers need to know when we are being fed paid for sponsored content. In other words, when it's essentially an ad dressed up as a social media post, and when it's not. So that is why, following other trends, there's the Advertising Standards Authority of the UK, which deals with so many complaints about social media posts by influencers that aren't marked as ads, mm-hmm. And they rule against, they uphold the complaints. In this country, the Advertising Standards Authority fell away, and we have in its place the Advertising Regulatory Board, and they have their own code for the last few years now, which essentially says that you have to put hashtag ad or hashtag sponsored or hashtag partnership when content, a post, a tweet or whatever is actually a blog is sponsored by a company, their product or their services or whatever. To my mind, that doesn't happen in every case, mm-hmm. As it should. But the organization, and we're going to speak to its CEO a bit later, they don't proactively follow up these things. They have to only investigate and hold a hearing when a member of the public submits a complaint and says, you know, that post was clearly advertising and whatever, and then they will investigate. So it's all about transparency and disclosure, as I, with these lines between independent and authentic content being completely blurred now with influencer posts. It's more important than ever that people know, because I was look, at the weekend, there was a whole lot of tweets about a particular brand that sells hair, supposedly real hair, and as wigs and whatever, and people saying, oh, they just get tangled up after a few hours. It's terrible. And then what came through strongly was, don't listen to what the influencers say. They give the influencers the right stuff. Someone said, yeah, it doesn't matter how many complaints, real complaints people see on social, they'll still believe the influencer. They still want to associate with the influencer and so have the products the influencer's promoting. And that is really what we're grappling with here, Azza.
Right. When there's that inconsistency, or what is being pushed is not clearly advertised as a promotion. And then secondly as well, the quality. And the idea, of course, is that this is someone whose opinion you can trust. Whose opinion will inform your decision making, and increasingly brands are turning in this direction. So let's take the latest in EWN headlines, and then we're going to take your calls. I want to hear from you as well, your thoughts on influencer marketing. Do you find it to be impactful? Do you find it to be useful in society, useful for brands? And what about the authenticity? Or you're okay with it, and that this is simply content creation, as long as it's content that you're willing to consume, then the rest of it is just minor detail. Where are you on influencer marketing? For me, it's about the impact on society and what it is we're communicating, particularly to young people, about what life is about. So 011-883-0702. We'll take your WhatsApps and your voice notes as well on 072-702-1702.
Nola knows.
So this afternoon, our focus has been on influencer marketing, and we've been looking at the downside of it. And this is when there are promotions that are run specifically to grow followership, competitions, giveaways, to lure engagement and to give away prizes, but all dressed in a very inauthentic way. And we wanted your thoughts on influencer marketing, your concerns with it, and perhaps just your observations. And we're looking at it from a consumer perspective, potentially, especially when what is being communicated is untrue, inauthentic, and perhaps potentially even the sale of fake products. Let's go to Kovudaka, who is in Sandton. Hey, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, Azania.
Yes, welcome. Go ahead.
Yes, I was wanted to comment on this interesting topic. Mm. In the olden days, we used to have the so-called brand ambassadors, which were based on, you know, an individual that has demonstrated, you know, credibility in the area of, you know, expertise, be it sport or art and stuff. So as a result, the brands will look at their value proposition and their positioning platform, it is in line with that person to actually act as an ambassador. But the modern day influencers, where people, you know, show up with the pictures of their bikinis or speedos, I think somehow that for me doesn't really have much credibility. So I do understand in the case of, you know, consumers that, you know, have used a particular product over time and they realize that that product really works and they share a testimonial about the product, which is the solution that has been provided. Mm. But what we see now is exactly what we are saying, that it's more like an instant success that probably people think they can achieve with influencer marketing, where there's no formalized qualification. Anyone that can have a bigger following, you know, without necessarily standing for anything, they believe that they can be an influencer. Mm. I'm not sure the brands that actually associate themselves with such, if they find that, you know, building credibility and sustainable for their marketing, I don't know, but I don't agree with that.
Right. I think there are really there are cases where someone has built an audience from the ground up, and it's been built through very good engagement on topics that that audience cares about. You know, so there's some wonderful examples, but there are also areas of concern. So there's a lot to be said on that. But Qovudaka, thank you so much for your contribution. Let's play some of your voice notes. Here's one that kind of also comments on what he was saying.
Good day, 702. Oh, man. You know, when it's Facebook, Facebook is really destroying everything. I mean, it's destroying even our relationships. Our girlfriends are expecting us to maintain the standards that they see on social media. They think that we are all coming from the same background, or we all have the same means. I think life definitely would have been better without a little bit of social media, guys, because...
Good morning, Aza. I'm also multilingual. I can speak...
Well, isn't it the same as they used to do in the olden days? When actors used to advertise products, and they still do, like L'Oreal and Redken and all those, they get advertised to advertise their products for hair, skin and hair. So is it not the same thing?
Okay, go ahead, Wendy.
Well, it's not the same thing because everyone knew that those were ads. When you get an influencer who's posting about a product that they've had a personal experience with, that's dressed up as a genuine review without any money attached, no strings attached. This comes from their own feelings. They purchased the product, they used the product, and want to share with their followers this great find. And I know some bloggers, influencers who do operate like that. They value their credibility. So I'm not dissing all of them, but I'm saying the issue here is those ones that are paid for, the people got paid in product, or the bigger ones get paid in very handsomely in actual hard cash. They need to say hashtag ad. They need to communicate that this is essentially an advert. So what I'm saying is things have become less obvious than they were. We all knew when we saw Jane Seymour, you know, plugging whatever it was, you know, no one thought she wasn't getting paid for that. You know, but now the lines are very, very blurry. People, you know, it's presented as a review, a personal review, when it's actually just an advert. They're using the words that they've been told to use by the advertiser, by the company that's paying them.
Let's go to the CEO of the Advertising Regulatory Board, and that's Gail Schimmel, who joins us now on the guidelines that have been set out as far as influencer marketing is concerned. Good afternoon, Gail. Thank you so much for making time to talk to us.
Thank you for having me.
So with regards to what Wendy just said in response to one of our listeners, why is it important for those paid posts to be identified as such?
You know, I've been listening to Wendy, and I have to say, she puts it so well, I'm not really sure what I'm doing here. She explained everything so clearly. But I think it's exactly what she said, that the way the consumer receives information, if they think it's a genuine review, versus if they know that it's a paid-for review, it's very different. If you think that someone you admire has gone to a restaurant and genuinely loved it, you're going to go to that restaurant. But if you know that that person you admire was given their meal for free, it changes how you perceive it. And if you know that they were given their meal for free and paid R1,000, it changes how you perceive it even further. And as consumers, we have that right to know, are we receiving genuine reviews? Are we receiving genuine reviews but that are paid for? Or are we just receiving paid for blather?
So earlier, Wendy mentioned that the Advertising Standards Authority in the UK gets a lot of complaints about influencer posts which don't disclose that they're actually adverts. And most of the complaints are upheld. What is the situation here?
So we don't get many complaints. So we have the rules, as Wendy set out, that if you are paid in any form for doing the tweet or the post or the blog or whatever it is, you are supposed to hashtag ad or explain the situation to your consumer in some way. But we don't get a lot of complaints about it. And as Wendy said, we are a reactive organization. We don't have the resources to monitor ourselves. Mm-hmm. So I think that one of the reasons that in South Africa we're not seeing the influencers move as fast as we could is because they know consumers are not complaining about it.
All right. So if there was more pressure, here's a question from one of our listeners. It says, if the influencer only received products, as in maybe for hair care or a car, whatever the product may be, for free and not money, do they still have to say hashtag ad?
They do. They have to say something. So some of them are using hashtag gift. I don't love it. I have to say I'm not convinced that it is in line with the code, but we haven't dealt with a case like that yet. So I don't want to make any statement that it's not in line with the code. But it's certainly better than nothing. Because then at least we know that they were given a gift in exchange for that tweet or that post, whatever it was.
Wendy, you're going to tell us about the SAB example in a moment, but let's go to Renier from Pretoria. Hello, Renier.
Hi, Renier. My wife bought a book every year. They bring out a book for top 50 restaurants in the country, plated. And those judges get paid for doing those reviews. So they don't, in the front of the book, I've never read, they said, look, the judges are getting paid to rate these restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's not just the influencers, the reviews have been, you know, restaurant reviews have been going on forever.
So greater transparency in other areas too. Mm-hmm.
You know, because now you get restaurants that are number one, that food is definitely not number one, but now you can understand why. So, I was just saying, you need to attack the younger crowd or the influencers because they're getting paid, but the older ones, like your said for 50 years they've been around, but nobody attacked those people the way the young people are getting attacked for being influencers.
Right. So you'd like to see that mentioned in the book, for instance, or the platform that interacts directly with consumers, not on the website, only where maybe the entry rules are outlined. Got you. Thank you.
And the biggest culprits is the newspapers.
How so?
It's because if I read a review, restaurant newspaper, I don't see at the bottom it says, okay, listen, I got a free meal and a food voucher for 500 grand.
Oh, got you. Okay. Thank you, Renee.
Okay, well,
Wendy?
I can jump in there. I worked on newspapers for many, many years. It might have changed, but certainly the major daily newspaper I worked on, we had a very renowned food critic, Ann Stevens. She never made, she would pop in rather than make reservations. She never, ever accepted any food, free meals. She submitted an expenses account to the newspaper, and that's how it was done to guarantee complete editorial independence. I'm not familiar with what Rennie is talking about, what publication he's talking about, but certainly, if you say the judges were paid, well, who were they paid by? If they were paid by the publication, well, of course, they were providing a professional service. If he's saying they were paid by the restaurants, that's a different story. So I think we need to be careful about what we're talking about here when we use the word sponsored. I deliver editorial independent content for which I'm paid for, but I'm not paid by companies to diss their competition or to talk them up. There's a very, very huge difference about when it comes to influence and one's credibility.
Right. Let's take a break and we'll continue with Gail Schimmel and Wendy Nola. And of course, take a look at your comments as well on 011-883-0702.
702. Nola knows her knowledge is your power.
It's Thursday and that means we're talking consumer matters with Wendy Nola. Different today as we focus on influencer marketing, especially when things can go wrong, where the express partnerships and advertising that comes through in many posts is not clearly expressed by the influencer, and that can easily confuse consumers. And there are those cases that work beautifully, people that uphold the regulations, that really act in an ethical way, who have built audiences in an authentic manner. But the other side of the coin can be a murky world where there are paid partnerships and you pay in order for you to be able to get followers or to be able to run promotions. and none of it is disclosed all the while. Wendy, you've got one such example, a concerning example, in fact, that played out in quite dramatic fashion on social media.
Yes, I'm sure a lot of listeners will remember it was back in January, South African breweries controversially had a whole lot of influencers. Well, they neither confirmed nor denied, but they allegedly had a whole lot of influencers push the banning alcohol as a bad idea line on their socials. And these were heavy lifting influencers. They were the big guns who are not known for doing such things without compensation. There was no indication on any of their socials. Many of them posted, I think most of them posted videos. There was not a hashtag ad or sponsored tagline in sight. So as I said, SAB refused to confirm or deny that they'd paid them to do those posts, despite a widely shared leaked brief they appeared to have been given with a suggested wording, etc. So I emailed SAB's agency asking, you know, it appears that they influencers are suddenly speaking out on their various platforms on this issue. It appears they did actually follow the alleged brief. With respect, there's little point in not owning that campaign. Those influencers are not known to put that kind of effort in for a brand for no payment. Why weren't there any hashtags notifying people that this was paid for? Whatever the cause, they were you know, many people agreed with what they were trying to accomplish. But that's beside the point. They paid people to allegedly to push a message, and they all pushed it at the similar time.
Same wording, you know, similar same wording. Sentiment. Yes, yeah. I remember that.
Quite surprisingly, astonishingly, I didn't get a response, and then eventually I got an acknowledgement and sorry, we'll get to you. That was months ago. I went back to them several times to say, this is their agency, to say, please, can I have a response? And I just never have.
Right.
So read into that what you will. But if we still have Gail, I wondered if ARB had any people writing to them or complaining about that.
We haven't received any complaints about it, and it's an interesting one because it goes to the definition of advertising, which goes beyond advertising a product and or a service, which is how we normally understand it, but it also is the promotion of any cause. So definitely that is something that would fall into advertising. And if they were indeed being paid in any way for that, they should have been using hashtag ad.
Yes.
Or it was such a big one. It surprised me, I must say.
It was. That it wasn't even clear who was behind it. I mean, they didn't all spontaneously, because that's how it was supposed to look, that they just spontaneously decided to put together these videos that carry this message with the same wording on appealing for the ban on alcohol to be brought to an end. Gail, thank you so much. But maybe if you could also just give details to our listeners on how they can lodge complaints, whether concerning influencer marketing or advertising.
Absolutely. And the easiest way to do it is to go onto our website. We have a very easy-to-use online form there. The website is www.arb.org.za, and you go to the complaints section and you'll find the online form. Otherwise, you can email us on complaint@arb.org.za. That's singular complaint.
All right. singular complaint@arb.org.za. Thank you for your time, Gail.
Absolute pleasure.
Wonderful. That is Gail Schimmel, the CEO of the Advertising Regulatory Board. So we've got a couple of your WhatsApps to look at. Quite an interesting perspective also emerging. One says, this topic, influencers annoy me merely based on the fact that it's not genuine. They are misleading our society. I like the good thing, what the good things guy said, that he will not promote something he does not believe in. To me, influencer is not an occupation. That's what one person says. Another one says, the likes of the Kardashians and overnight social media stars and their bottomless pit of narcissism and vanity are skewing everything as to what girls and young women should aspire to. It's sickening and creating a generation of pouting, self-absorbed, dysfunctional adults who should be worried about where their world is going. Woo! Right.
Wow. It's definitely an older person. but But yes, I think for someone that's been around in a more authentic era in terms of advertising values, all that kind of thing, it's a very, very difficult phenomenon to deal with. But for the youngsters, I have children in their 20s. It's like, what's the issue?
Yeah, they're absolutely.
Grown up with social media.
Here's another one. It says, I'm a fashion designer and I've been advised to use influencers to market my brand. I've opted not to because their followers are not necessarily my market and many likes do not equate to sales. Now that is very important to remember. Yes. You've got a good insight, and that is very true. It does not translate. That volume of likes does not translate. The liking is about the picture more than anything else, not necessarily even the caption that might talk about your product or tell the story of your brand to their followers. So those are some of the perspectives coming in. Thank you so much, Wendy. A different one today, but thanks. I think a very necessary one. And we're now able to keep a closer eye at how these messages are communicated to us. Thanks.
Thanks, Aza.
And that is Wendy Nola.